Today about, and I apologize for my voice, the journey of self-discovery, again, like we did last week, but this one is the beginning of a two-part piece to it. Last week we were talking about self-discovery, and if you can discover who you are in Christ, then that makes you self-aware, and when you are self-aware, then you can then have self-expression, so you will change who you are on the outside once you know who you are on the inside. We also taught it to you another way, which was courage, which is the ability to speak through your mouth and your mind, the fullness of your heart, and then finding someone who will walk with you through that without trying to fix you, without gossip, without, you know, all those things we talked about. And that's a person with compassion, and that would lead people to be connected. And I commented last week that we need to know yourself better on a deeper level so you can discover the real you. I think most Christians are still hiding behind masks, but that's my opinion. And I commented that you needed to seek to know God better because you were created in His image. So to know yourself better, you need to know Him on a deeper, more personal, and more intimate level. The more you know God, the more you know you. The more you know you, the more you'll have hunger to get to know more of God. So the way you get to know God is simple. It's accomplished by spending more time with Him, and especially in His Word, in the Bible, which was nice that you were given some highlighters that don't bleed through your Bible pages, so you can actually highlight some things. And so you should be praying as you start reading each day that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, would guide and direct you into truth. The truth. Jesus is the truth. And that He would reveal more of Jesus to you because Jesus is the truth. So if you read your Bible and you don't get more of Jesus, you haven't read the truth. You've read something that didn't do anything for you. John 16:13 says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak of His own authority." So He's going to guide and direct you into the truth that's in the Bible, and through that He'll teach you and reveal to you the truth, Jesus Himself. So 1 John 2, "The anointing that you received from Him abides in you, and His anointing teaches you about everything, and is true, and is no lie, just as it, sorry, that shouldn't be there. I will remove that if there's a piece there. Jesus said, "I am the way," you could circle it, "the truth, and the life." So the Holy Spirit guides you and teaches you from God's Word. The Holy Spirit then reveals through God's Word Jesus as you read the Word and as you study it. That's His task in the life of the believer, the life of a disciple. His task is simply to lead you into all the truth. Is that okay? So the more you know God, the more you get to know you. How do you get to know God? You get in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He inspired the Bible. You ask Him to lead you into the truth that's in the Bible. And the truth in the Bible will actually lead you to get to know the truth, Jesus Himself, better. So I recently revisited a verse that I studied several years ago, Matthew 11. Jesus said, "Come to Me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you, let Me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light." That's halfway between a King James and something more modern. Except that God didn't speak to me in that version, because at nighttime I read the Living Bible Redone, which is the New Living Translation. So here it, and then I read the Message version. So here's the Message version. "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to Me, get away with Me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with Me and work with Me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with Me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." I don't see that in most Christians' lives. Most Christians today have switched from one religion to another. They have gone from whatever religion you were brought up in to a born-again religion, where we're performing, thinking that we're pleasing God. We're reading so many chapters of Scripture, we're praying for so many minutes a day, we're doing all the right things, but for the wrong reason. We're trying to please God. And the Bible says the only way to please God is to have faith that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. And so I believe that we are, in many ways, tired, worn out, and burned out on religion. It's a born-again religion, but it's still a religion, because religion is man trying to please God, where the Christian faith is God having done everything for us, and we get to please Him by believing in Him. So I think these verses are very important to us, so let's read them a second time. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Are you tired? I thought about that. Yes, most Christians are. We're tired of religion. That's the rules, the regulations. But you made your own. We do. We've created our own set of rules and regulations about how we approach God and how we supposedly hear God and what we do and how we write it down and what journals we keep. But there's no power happening to change the life. So yes, we're tired. And we're also tired of church as we know it, because you're not seeing people come to faith in Christ, which is the only purpose for the church. And yes, we're tired of playing church in so many ways. I think so often we have taken the path of least resistance. We've done whatever's easiest for us. And I've taught you before that the kingdom is taken by those who are willing not to be passive, who have to be violent. It's taken by force. So, or I taught you that the wide road, the wide path, is a path to destruction. And Jesus was talking to disciples. And the narrow road is difficult but leads to life. So are we tired? Yes. Are we worn out? If you have a performance religion, yes. Doing what needs to be done in the flesh can wear you out. That's why I like it when he says later on, walk with me and work with me, watch how I do it. If you're going through the motions, and sometimes you're even controlled by your emotions, that can really wear you out. Are you burned out on religion? Yes. Why? Because you've slipped back into a religious routine that doesn't have life. And this is a good time to look at your routine and see if it's really releasing life for you. It's spring, summer, maybe fall already. So it's a good time to have a good look at it. 4 years ago, God said to me in the spring that He wanted me to close my Bible and not read it. So for 3 months, I didn't read my Bible. But I went for very long walks and spent time in His presence, praying. And it was the best summer I ever had. Now, if you go and tell somebody that the pastor didn't read his Bible for 3 months, I'll deny I ever said it. But we've got routines that at times go stale. And when they go stale, they're religion. And you double your effort, and 2 times 0 is zero. Someone once said he was born in the fires of revival, and now he's playing in the ashes. And that's how I felt at times. Still do. So there's a solution to it. And on your journey of self-discovery, the solution to get past this nonsense is to come to me, Jesus said. And he also said, get away with me. So it's not good enough just to come to Him. You have to go with Him wherever He's going to want to take you. So that means, in my books, away from the constant activities that don't release life. So whatever it is you're doing that you do and you do and you do and you do, and if it's not giving you life, then go away from it. Go away from your self-made rules that prevent you from experiencing life. Get away from the constant motion and activities that comes with living today. It is so difficult to just slow down. Okay, so I've given you five things there. Stillness. Be still and know that I am God. It might be good to turn off the music, turn off the noise, turn off your worship, turn off your own singing. Just be still. And then try some silence, which is because Ecclesiastes says there's a time to keep silent. You got to do this often by yourself to come to know Jesus personally. So Jesus even went up the mountain by himself to pray. So that's solitude. The Holy Spirit will bear witness in your spirit, so you're going to need the Holy Spirit. And you're also going to need to search for God and let him search your heart. So Deuteronomy says, search for him with all your heart. And last week, Psalm 139, we looked at verses 1 to 4, and where you ask God to search your heart. And it wasn't because he didn't know your heart, it's because you don't. So he's going to show it to you as he searches it. So Jesus says, get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. I think that's what most of us need to do this summer, is rediscover life, his life, in us. If you're going to go on a journey of self-discovery, you need to discover him first. And let him put meaning back into your life and into your daily activities. What does it mean to have rest for your soul? What does it mean to have a real rest? If you're having a real rest, then you will no longer walk in the flesh. You will do everything in the Spirit. You'll be moving under the guidance and the direction of the Spirit. So, religion means that you have an absence of intimacy with the Father. You're following rules, your own rules, because I don't make rules for you, and this church hasn't made rules for you. You have activity on the outside, but you're motionless on the inside. No growth, no change. No movement. You're involved in the activities of being a Christian, but no intimacy. Religion means you're living a superficial life with little meaning and depth. You're an inch deep and a mile wide. Socrates said, an unexamined life is not worth living. When you examine your life, you're pleased with what you find most times because you examine you. It's like the police policing the police. So you really need the Holy Spirit to examine your life. And then you need to hear what he's really saying. Richard Foster said, everybody know who Richard Foster is? He's a Quaker, Friends Church in the States. He's a professor, but he has a tremendous grasp on intimacy with God. He said, superficiality is the curse of our age. The doctrine of instant satisfaction is a primary spiritual problem. The desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent people or gifted people, but for deep people. We are an inch deep and a mile wide in most churches. If you're not, you're the exception. So then I read the book of Philippians. I know, we're supposed to be on what? 1 Thessalonians. I'm on Philippians, sorry. And there you'll find Paul, and he's kind of a companion on this journey. He's looking to become more deeply and intimately related to God. Remember, he met Jesus in person on the road to Damascus. Philippians 3. As a result, I can really know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I can learn what it means to suffer with him, sharing in his death. Shall I reread it? I can really know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. So do we really know Christ, and are we really experiencing the power that raised him from the dead? So if you go into the Amplified Version, here's what it says. For my determined purpose is, that would be something worth underlining. How determined is your purpose? My determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, the power it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his suffering as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death. So Paul's great goal for his life was to know Jesus intimately. Paul's determined purpose as a follower was that I may know him, progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted. So he was on a journey. It was continuing. It never stood still. There was no park. There's no neutral, and there's no reverse in the car. Perceiving, seeing, in other words, recognizing, understanding, continually transformed. That really challenged me when I first read it in the Amplified Bible. That is a determined man with a determined purpose. And I wonder if that's our purpose. So is there anything on earth more important than that? I do not think so. Yet, strangely, so few of us pursue it. We're all so busy. I'm not sure what we're busy with. Maybe we're busy with being busy. We're intimately acquainted with our Bible, but not with the author. And good that you know your Bible, but that's not good enough because there's no quiz, as I keep telling you. So, we're intimately acquainted with good Bible teaching. That's good, but not good enough. And we're busy and intimately acquainted with things in the church. That's good, but not good enough. Those are all secondary because we should be seeking him. And that was a good place to say amen. And that's what Jesus had in mind. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Who is God's righteousness? Jesus. And then goes on to say all these other things, you know, that we pray for, the long shopping list that's more boring to God than us. All those things will be added to you. The psalmist knew that as well. Listen to what he says. As the deer pants for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I come and stand before him? Or the Message version again. A white-tailed deer drinks from the creek. I want to drink, God, deep draughts of God. I'm thirsty for God alive. I wonder, will I ever make it, arrive and drink in God's presence? So you should have a quote. This quote is from a preacher of old, and he was a manic depressive, but the greatest preacher that ever lived in the 1800s. And here's what he wrote. David was heartsick. Ease he did not seek, honor he did not covet, but the enjoyment of communion with God was an urgent need of his soul, an absolute necessity, like water to a stag. His soul, his very self, his deepest life was insatiable for a sense of the divine presence. Oh, to have the most intense craving after the highest good. So Paul's determined purpose wasn't to take the gospel to every known nation. It was to know Christ intensely and intimately. And that would take him to the nations. He had everything important going for him. Philippians 3. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old, having been born into a pure-blooded Jewish family that is a branch of the tribe of Benjamin. I am a real Jew, if there ever was one. What's more, I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. And zealous, yes. In fact, I harshly persecuted the church, and I obeyed the Jewish law so carefully that I was never accused of any fault. Impressive, but listen to what he went on to say. I once thought all these things were so very important, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I may have Christ. So he is saying that in spite of everything he's accomplished in life, both as a Jew and as a Christian, in comparison to knowing Jesus intimately and intensely, everything else was worthless and garbage. I wonder. Do we consider everything else secondary? I'm watering it down. Secondary. Do we actually put Jesus first? I think Paul understood the words of Jesus. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? I think Paul was. He was a Pharisee. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. After Paul got converted and met with the leaders, he disappeared for up to 13 years and spent his time having the revelation that's now half the New Testament. He got away with Jesus, and he recovered his life, his real life, not his religious life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. And when we go away with him, look what he does. Walk with me, work with me, not work for me, work with me. Big difference. Flesh versus spirit. Hard work versus fun. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Circle that phrase, the unforced rhythms of grace. Have we experienced that? I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So he tells us right up front that we will be facing things and we should decide to spend quality time with him on our journey. And the more you know him, the more you'll know you. The more you know you, the more you're going to want to know more of him. So self-discovery starts with discovering your Creator. Amen? So the purpose of the journey that you're supposed to be on as a believer, that you started the day you got born again, even though you might not have taken the first step yet, the purpose of the journey and spending time with him is to discover more about who you are deep inside where real life occurs. And he actually sets out those steps for us. So walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Isn't that what he said? Follow me and I will make you. It's the same thing. So we're his disciples, and so we learn by following and watching. Okay? He does it, and you watch. You do it, and he watches and corrects you, adjusts you, and then you do it. So we join him in what he's doing and learn from him as we do. And that's called walking in the Spirit, not walking in the flesh. So I focused for a while on learning the unforced rhythms of grace. Jesus came full of grace and truth, John 1:17. And he introduced grace to his followers. That's receiving from God's hand what you naturally do not deserve. So God has given you a certain personality. You didn't deserve it. God has given you a certain motivation. God has given you certain skills and abilities. God has given to you certain gifts and calling, all because of his love for you, not because of anything we did. And as you follow him, he gives you all this by grace. You're going to learn to use it by grace after you discover by grace who you really are. So no striving, no struggling, no strutting around like you're somebody important. Just move with ease in the things that are yours because of his grace. Listen to what he's saying. I gave you all these things, your skills, your abilities, your talents, your personality, the way you're wired, the gifts that are in your life, spiritual gifts, the calling on your life. They're all his, given to you by grace. And by grace, they work. And if you're working them by grace, then it's easy. No heavy burdens. You're not stressed. You're not struggling. You're not striving. You're not strutting around trying to convince everybody how great you are. And so all we do is follow Jesus, who's full of grace, and learn how to work by grace. And there's a rhythm to that grace in your life. And we need to discover the rhythm. And it'll be different for everybody. So you're going to need to follow Jesus until you figure out how he functions with you. And then because he's full of grace and you're following his lead and his example, you also will begin to walk by grace. And then you'll get rid of the real religion that we're following all the time. And we would call that yielding to the Spirit. Is that okay? Okay, so I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. That's because God loves you. And he'll never give you more than you can handle with his help. And what he's doing and asking you to do, he will prepare you to do. He'll change your personality. He'll give you new skills. He'll give you talents, gifts, callings, whatever he has to do to change you. Everything I do today in ministry was prophesied. And because it was prophesied, God released the power to bring the change in my life so that I could do it. Everything I'm doing 20 years ago, I hated. Travel, living in other people's homes, no personal space, no personal time, being away from home. But when God has a call on your life and you're walking by grace, the grace will change you so that you can do what he's calling you to do. And as the call changes, so will the grace change. And if you follow Jesus, you'll change with it. There's seasons in your life, and there's seasons in the call on your life. So keep company with me, he says, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. I don't know if you do that. Everybody seems to be struggling in life, right? It's really an effort to live. It's an effort to keep above water. Effort-wise, time-wise, schedule-wise, work-wise, putting it all together. So I believe God wants us, as we discover ourselves, to live freely and lightly. Walk with him and be a part of what he's doing. And do it his way, with his help. And let him mold us and change us so we know these rhythms of grace. I love that phrase, rhythms of grace. So on your journey of self-discovery, you will find new freedoms and things will begin to fit better and burdens that you have will be lifted and you will live lightly only as you come to know who you are in Christ. I have to be honest, I don't think we know yet. I think some of us are on the journey to discover who we are, but there's our... It's like we're an onion, and when you think you got it down pat, then God peels another layer out, and all of a sudden you're dealing with the same issue, but at a deeper level. And so when you find this person of compassion, you're going to end up talking the same thing over and over and over again, but it's always going to have more added to it because you're getting more depth and more understanding, and you're going to see how it's connected to other things in your past. So this is all this rhythm of grace that God has for us. So, self-discovery only comes as you walk with Jesus. And then you will have to have acceptance by someone else so that then you can accept yourself. And then as you come to love yourself, you will learn how to express that differently, to express yourself differently. And that's going to take courage, someone who is compassionate, in the right sense of compassionate, who will walk with you, not try to fix you, isn't emotional about things, just tries to walk with you and help you in the hurt and the burden and what you're walking through. And that brings you to connectedness. And then you might live an abundant, fulfilling, and satisfying life. So I want to read the scripture again. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on your rules that you've created? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. If you don't like the Message version, it says, come to me all who are weary and are heavy laden, if you like a more older version, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light. I think we have a job to do. I think one of the reasons we're not productive in the kingdom is because we're still learning how to love God love ourselves as we change, and then love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And I think there's a lot of work to do in there. So the more you love God, the more you can love yourself, the more you can love your neighbor. The more you know God, the more you can know yourself, the more you can know God, the more, and it just keeps going. And I think he gives us all the steps in that scripture. So comments.